He accepted the scripture as proof. Over his eyes, over anything. Yeah? Whatever the scripture said, yes. Such faith, and he based his life on it. And that takes courage. Because then one has to be ready to fully bank on Krishna. Whereas the tendency, of course, is to bank is some material security here, and then a little surrender to Krishna there. A bit of both. That's the tendency. No. Just rather full faith in Krishna. And see how glorious he became. So that is... What does that mean? Does that mean we have to stop taking care of ourselves? No. But how much? How much? What do we need to do? How much we need? Okay, a roof over our head, and so on. Preferably one that doesn't leak. And some little space, some security, some conveyance, this, that, you know. And then you have it. And then what else? And then always more, always better. That obviously is not going to help us. So, we are looking at being generous. Generous with our energy, generous with our time, generous with service to Krishna. And in that way, knowledge becomes revealed. It is, now I spoke about knowledge being available in the scripture. But then it says that Tarika Pratistha Sutya Vibhina Nasa Varisya Nabina. It is a little too loud. You hear the feedback? But just a little. Slightly less. Slightly less. I said the scriptures are a source of knowledge, but then it says Tarka Pratistha Sutya Vibhina. In that verse it says that even through the scriptures it's very difficult to understand the truth, because there are so many explanations and so many opinions about it. Everyone who knows the scripture has a different opinion. And therefore it is said that real knowledge, it's now slightly up and then you've got it perfect. It says that real knowledge is hidden in the hearts of the devotees. Dhammasya nitam guhayam. It's hidden in the heart of devotees because one has to realize the scripture to really know the answers. So that is the essence. So, truly, knowledge, initially we begin to follow the scripture, we follow the directions of the spiritual master, and then that knowledge becomes manifest within our hearts in due course of time. We get realized knowledge. And then it comes to life. Otherwise, some things make sense and some things don't make sense. But it starts to make sense the more we live by this knowledge, the more we live by the instruction of scripture and the senses. And it's like a veil is lifted from our eyes. We thought all along that we saw the truth. We thought we understood things, and then we realized I didn't know. I didn't quite understand. I was still acting according to the dictates of the material energy. Because it captures us in so many ways. So somehow or other, we want to, fully realize this knowledge. Then we have to try and adjust our life. It cannot just be that we living a life based on the scripture. The mic is now really too
if
low.
You just so joined us on this beautiful evening. Welcome to our Lagriyaki Festival 2014. We hope that you have spent time with family and friends and the great family of Srila Prabhupada. We'd like to remind you that we are having a firework display later tonight. We hope you stay very cool. And also a reminder about Rama, that is scheduled for August 8th tonight.
Okay.
So please make sure you visit all our team, chant and be happy, and look forward to a lot of wonderful events tonight.
Otherwise it distracts you. You sit all the time thinking about the sound system. The real thing is that the scriptures, studying the scriptures is not an intellectual process. It's not about learning a lesson and memorizing and so on. It's truly about it entering the heart and about purifying the heart. And it's about faith. It's about generating faith in our hearts so that we go forward. That's what is required. Faith to just become a servant. Faith to just bow down. Faith to just put our own agenda aside. But what if they don't understand me? What if the devotees don't understand me and they cannot see my qualifications? Then I'll be just unfulfilled. No, just be completely humble, if we can. That's the highest. Right? Now I'm speaking of the highest platform is where one simply serves. A story that in Vrindavan there was a devotee, very simple devotee. His name was Krishnadas. And he lived there some 500 years ago. And Krishnadas was sort of a cleaner, a simple person, just sweeping with a broom. And that's what he did, sweeping the courtyard of the temple with a broom. And everyone knew, okay, that's that Krishnadas who means the temple. Nice man, a little simple, right? Then one day, the king of Jaipur, or one night rather, the king of Jaipur had a dream. And in his dream, the deity of Govinda, in Vrindavan, came to him. And the deity gave him personally a plate of prasadam, of mahaprasadam, the full plate. So then he tasted that in his dream, and it was like the best that he ever tasted. He never ever tasted such cooking. So then he just asked who has cooked this amazing prasadam? He said, Krishna does. So he went to Vrindavan shortly after, and he asked and he said, I want to taste the Maha Prasadam of what is cooked by Krishna does. He said, Krishna does? There's no Krishna does here. He said, no. There must be. There's nobody cooking here by the name of Krishna, sorry. You know, must have been wrong in the dream. And he said, oh, is there any Krishna das at all? And finally someone said, well, there is this devotee that sort of sweeps, you know, the courtyard and so on. He's the only Krishna das here. The king said, bring him here. So then the king asked him, are you cooking for Krishna? And then it came out that Krishna das had been cooking for Krishna in his mind. But all along, he had been sweeping, and he never ever had asked for that service, to cook. But he had a desire to do it, and in his mind, he was cooking for Krishna. But he was just satisfied sweeping. And then the king said, oh, then he must cook. So because the king pushed, then Krishna das cooked, and it was amazing. No one had ever cooked like that. From that day on, he became the cook of the deities, of Govindaji. So this ancient story just shows that Krishna takes care of us. We are afraid. You know, if I don't take care of myself, who will take care of me? If I don't make sure that I will get the proper situation for myself, how will I get? You know, even in devotional service, I mean, I have my nature and my abilities, I need to be engaged properly. But the truth is, if one has the faith, that Krishna will fully take care of all my needs, then that will happen. You can see. But that takes great courage, because we always think we have to take care of our own needs. You see? Always. So of course I'm speaking about great pure devotional service. Not just ordinary devotional service. But it is, and of course, when we hear about this, it's not that I want to tell you all, get it together, you know, what are you doing? You're wasting your time, you should be doing more. No. What it is simply, by hearing about pure devotional service, we get purified. And by hearing a story like this, a little bit of faith in our heart is awakened. Say, well, that's interesting that Krishna spoke. An interesting story. Because he didn't make any arrangements for himself, but Krishna made arrangements to fulfill all his desires. Interesting. Of course, you know, I'll still keep on arrangements for my, making arrangements for myself, you know, after all. But then, we see that, still, because we heard the story, a little bit of faith begins to grow. And thus, we hear more and more. And so, in Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear descriptions of pure devotional service. And Srimad Bhagavatam. We are not so interested in reading so many books. Our book is Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh, but that is very big. Can't I just read the Bhagavad Gita? No. Oh, but isn't the Bhagavad Gita perfect because those are the words of Krishna? Yes, the Bhagavad Gita is perfect and they are the words of Krishna. But still, our main book is Srimad Bhagavatam because Srimad Bhagavatam is describing everything about Krishna. You see, it describes how Krishna appeared in this world, it describes his pastimes, it describes how he dealt with Putana, and with Sakatasura, and with Dinavakta, and then we see how Mother Yasoda, after that, after the old Dinavakta thing was over, she had him on her lap, and for a moment Krishna yawned, and she thought she saw the whole universe in his mouth. Next, we see pastime where Krishna is eating clay, and Mother Yasoda is saying, you have. And she sees the universe is in his mouth. All these pastimes are taking place in Krishna's life. That's all the Bhagavad. So our book is the Bhagavad. And yes, that is for us our main literature. Yeah, so to read that takes a lot of effort. There are 335 chapters. So if you get a few days off, then you have to basically, if you want to read it in 1 year, you have to read a chapter a day. It's quite a bit. Some devotees do. Some devotees do. There used to be, at one point when I was in Vrindavan, by the way, I didn't join in Amsterdam, I joined in Vrindavan. So the paper they're reading out, every time they say I joined in Amsterdam. So in Vrindavan, at one point, there was a very tough management. They were new, the management came in, and then they gave a thunder speech to all the devotees, and they said, you cannot just stay here in Vrindavan all the time. Only the surrendered souls can stay. And is there anyone who is not ready to wash the pots? And then one Prabhupada disciple raised his hand, and he raised his hand like this. So it looked a little challenging. So the leader said, you don't want to wash the pots? He said, no. He said, then what do you want to do? He said, I want to read the Bhagavatam. And then they gave him a one-way ticket to another destination. But anyway, he read the Bhagavatam. That's what he did. And years later, I met him again, and he would all the time walk into my room with a Bhagavatam in his hand and say, hear what I have just read. And he started reading the Bhagavatam. Always. And nowadays, he has a website called sadhusanga.com. And there, and guess what he has? Audio books. he's just reading Prabhupada's books, and that's what he does, you know. And now he started a program of audio books, and people purchase audio books online. Yeah? So, and he lives on that. Well, that's courageous. That takes courage to do something like that. Yeah? That's brave. That's putting, saying, no, I'm just going to read the Bhagavatam. I don't care, you know. I don't care. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm just going to do that. So this kind of courage comes from faith. Faith, it is said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sada Sapta Viswaskale Subhidanishchai Krishna Bhakti Kaya Sarva Karma Kripala. That this word sada, it means firm faith that from devotional service all good things will come. And that's what faith is, to believe. Simply take shelter of devotional service, all good things will come. So this is truly knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is really what is coming. So any questions now? No, yeah, it's... So somehow or other, we must stay in contact with the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Hare Krishna.
You spoke about Srila Prabhupada's faith in scripture. How do we develop faith in scripture? How will you defeat scientists on the basis of scriptures when scientists will take it as sentimental? Well, Srila Prabhupada's faith in the scripture. His faith in the scripture, in the beginning I was speaking about the moon landing, and I guess that's why you edit this point about defeating scientists. But Srila Prabhupada's faith in the scriptures was very, very deep, because he had systematically adjusted his life to those scriptures, and he'd given his whole life to getting absorbed in hearing about Krishna. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he knew that everyone in the world is simply bluffing. Sometimes they would say that Prabhupada was dogmatic, and then Prabhupada would answer and say, why are they so dogmatically saying that Krishna is not God when they haven't seen him? So he exposed them, They called him dogmatic. You have to be open to all religions and all views and so on. And Prabhupada would say, why are they so dogmatically saying that Krishna is not God when they haven't seen him? So Prabhupada had seen, he was seeing Krishna. So Prabhupada knew for a fact that Krishna was the Supreme Lord. So his faith was no longer just based on what it said in the books. He had realized fully the conclusions of the books, and he was seeing Krishna face to face. Therefore Prabhupada could expose anyone for coming up with some fabricated ideas. Sometimes science is a lot of bluffing in science, I'm sorry to say, but I was reading a newspaper article which did impress me, because it was about, it said there were cosmic dust storms, and in these cosmic dust storms, dust particles were clustering. And then a scientist said, and now I'm so impressed, I felt deeply moved, because here I was witnessing the creation. Here I was seeing how galaxies come into being. So he saw some cosmic dust particles clustering. And he said that now he was witnessing galaxies coming into being. Well, my mother used to also see dust particles clustering maybe under my bed, and said, when are you going to clean your room? Yeah? Come on, give me a break. I wasn't very impressed by that. It's like, the big gun and all fairy tales, fairy tales. Just imagination. Right? No, we cannot. Of course, I'm not saying that science has no application. We have electric lights, We have plastic chairs. We have a microphone. We have so many things. For going home in the car,
all fruits of science, no problem. So they can make all kinds of machines, that's fine. But then, when it comes to establishing the truth, that they can't do. You know, one philosopher of science, after all, there are philosophers who study science, the outlook of science, the philosophy of science, what is behind science. So, basically, there's a philosopher named Karl Popper, science was his specialty, and he said, if science is meant to ascertain what is truth, then so far it has proven not to be the case. Because every time you have a theory, and after a little while someone throws it over and there's a new theory. So it means each time they didn't have the truth. Isn't it? So therefore, whatever science has brought us, it's absolutely a miracle. They have vacuum cleaners that do not need people anymore. You know, robotic vacuum cleaners that can do the house while you're at work. And soon you'll come to work and there's no more work because the robots will do your work. But anyway, so science can do amazing things, and they have done amazing things. They've given us a global economy, they've taken us away from the land, and they have, you know, made us dependent on machines and on artificial wealth, paper money, or plastic money. You know, what do you do on Monday? Your bank account shows zero. I said, no, this is wrong. And the bank says, no, this is right. What will you do? Electronic banking, virtual money. So all this is, these are the gifts of science, and that's about it. And now you have to be careful with your latest credit cards, because they have electronic details built in the chip, and there are scanners that can scan your card while you walk past it. And people can have hand scanners, and they can steal all your credit card details, and you'll never know until. That's the latest. After wrapping it in aluminium foil, it's the only thing that will protect your credit card. That's what's going on now. Maybe it hasn't hit South Africa in a big way, but I'm sure it's gonna be big. That's gonna be big in South Africa. Yeah, aluminium foil. Yeah. So invest your money in stock for aluminium foil. Everyone's going to buy it in a minute. So science is giving us many wonders, and that's appreciated or not appreciated, but it has not given us the truth. The true science is the science of the scripture, and that gives us the truth and nothing. So we're not bluffed by any scientists, so you know, they don't know what's the truth. Srila Prabhupada was never embarrassed of being a devotee. How do we learn not to be embarrassed of being devotees when among academics? Be a devotee. It's not a problem. Just we have to learn to be ourselves and stop acting for others. You know, acting to try and impress people. And this is a big disease in the world, where we just don't live our own lives, but we're always trying to meet expectations. We're always trying to be something that we think that people want us to be. And it's acting out the part. Although everyone can see, we don't quite make it. Why don't we just be ourselves and relax? So, whether a devotee, be a devotee.
And some academics will appreciate, some academics will not appreciate, some people will appreciate, some people will not appreciate. That's fine. It's like I decided that I walk around in these clothes. Right? So, you know, sometimes, rarely, I meet someone who looks at it like, you know, sometimes I meet a negative person, but very rarely. One time, I was standing in a line on an airport, and someone behind me started a whole thing about Al-Qaeda. And he said, you are a religious fanatic. You are a religious fanatic just like Al-Qaeda, you know? And he just kept on going on, you know? And finally, I said to the other people in the line, I said, dear people, we're all standing in this line, and if you don't mind, could you tell this man to stop terrorizing me? And everybody got it, you know, who was the terrorist, right? Everyone can see he's a terrorist, you know. Man was a terror, God, you know. I don't need to tell you, jeez. I mean, if he's married,
sorry for his wife.
Jeez. Oh. Yeah. So, but most of the time I meet very positive people, you know. People that appreciate my clothes. I meet scientists who appreciate and who are nice. There are many scientists who are nowadays not just accepting Darwinism. You know, like a few years ago, 400 prominent scientists signed a manifesto that they do not accept Darwin's evolution theory. That's scientists. So it's not all so cut and dry. Everywhere in the world, there are people who are open to spiritual life, and there are people who are not open. One time, we started the Harinam, and within 3 minutes, a lady comes running out of a house, out of an office building, and she says, "Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!" It's like, cool it, lady. Relax, you know? I mean, did you take your pills? You know? Jeez, you know? I mean, what's going on, man? You know? Really? It's like 3 minutes, you know? So like that, but over a whole, there are many people who appreciate a devotee. So we don't have to be afraid of being devotees. Not at all. Actually, we can be open about it, even at work. Yeah, and people respect us for it. If you tell them, okay, if, you know, yeah, I'm Hare Krishna. Really? You? Yeah. Okay, but I work here. What kind of many Hare Krishnas are very professionals.
Driver
of
NN72360.
She worked
at the airport.
Driver of
NN72360. Please remove your car as it is causing an obstruction. Once again, driver of NN72360. Please remove your vehicle as it is causing an obstruction. She should say, please remove your car or it will be towed.
That's actually how to do it. Yeah, you know. So, we need not be concerned about being devotees and not being accepted. Prabhupada also told a story. He said there was a factory and there were many devotees in India who were working in this factory, and therefore the devotees were wearing tilak. then a Muslim purchased the factory and he passed an order that from tomorrow on, no one can wear tilak in this time. All the devotees cried, they were so upset that they, yeah, you know what to do, you know. I gotta keep my job and maintaining my family. Yeah. So they all took off their tilak, came to work without, but there was one man, he was still having tilak. So the boss came up in the morning and said, "What's that on your forehead?" "Tilak." The boss said, "Haven't you heard that I gave an order that from tomorrow, from today on, no one can wear tilak in this factory?" And the man said, "Look, I've been working here for a long time. I'm doing my job, and I'm doing it nicely. So then as far as like my religion, that's my private affair." And then the boss said, "You've got guts. I like you. You can wear tilak, but nobody else can." And in this way, that man was the only man in the factory who would wear tilak. So we should not be so easily intimidated. We should just, it's all right to be a devotee. It's a good thing. And even if some people go, "Ha ha ha, hee hee hee, oh, oh," he say, "Yeah, ha ha ha, hee hee, oh, oh." And then I go to you also, "Ha ha ha, hee, oh, oh." You know, good. Huh? I had someone on a train in India, of all places, in West Bengal, a young boy. And he starts laughing at my clothes. "Look at those clothes, ha ha ha, hee hee." Now he was wearing Bermuda shorts, you know, with a multicolored design on it, right? So I was going back to him. I said, "Look at those clothes, you know." And I said, you like those shorts?" He said, "Oh, I love them." I said, "Good. Do you wear them every day?" He said, "No, of course not. I have many different kinds of clothes." I said, "Well, I wear these clothes every day. You know why? Because they're spiritual, and they're satisfying me, and therefore I don't need to change. But you have to always change your outfit, because you're not satisfied." Well, that's sort of shut him up. You know. I'm not speaking against the ladies wearing different sari every day, but that's okay. Although, the problem is, sometimes, when they put on a different sari, you don't recognize them. You know? I have a real problem with that. Just some lady puts on a totally different outfit, and puts their hair different, and then I haven't seen them for a while, and then they go like, "Oh my gosh," and then it's like, "Who's this lady?" Especially embarrassing when my disciples. Sure, sometimes they disguise themselves, not my fault. They look very different from the time of the initiation. It's not my fault. No. So don't be embarrassed about being in a devotee. It's a good thing. If anyone says anything, Maharaj says it's a good thing. Call me anytime. Give me my number, I'll tell them. When one begins to see imperfections in devotees, this hinders one's progress in spiritual life. Well, it depends. It depends. When you're put in charge, then you have to find imperfections in devotees. Yeah? You know, if you're in charge of this tent, and then if you've got the projector, then you have to get in someone's case and say, "Hey, you're supposed to bring the projector, why isn't it here?" Yeah. Yeah. So we do need some people to see imperfections. How else could this festival go on? You know what I mean? So it's not, but one should only see the imperfections when, or make an issue out of it, Yeah? One should only make an issue out of it when it's your service. Like, you heard the introduction maybe that I was managing the Krishna Balaram temple, and I was managing the construction of the Mayapur Samadhi, and I was, there was a board of 8 people managing Mayapur, and I was one of those 8, and so many things I managed too. So for many years, I managed big projects, and that's my other side, you know, the side that South Africa doesn't know that well, but they know me as a kirtan man, but I am known as also in Islam as a good manager, you know. It's like it's someone who can manage, right? So, okay, so I walk around and I just do one round around the boat in Chatsworth, and I can see like half a dozen things or more that really the management should do something about. But, you know, I don't make it an issue to all the times. You know, sometimes I harass them. Yeah? So when we find imperfections in devotees, that in itself is not wrong, but it must be presented in a suitable way, and you know, when it is our business or when we think it's very important. Like, you know, sometimes in India there is no fire provisions, nothing, zero. Nothing. So I tell them that, you know, I mean, maybe you should have some fire escape and some fire extinguisher, and maybe even this one should maybe get a fire brigade going in big places like Mayapur. I tell them that. Why not? That's not. That's okay. I'll give you a full question. When one begins to see imperfection in devotees, this hinders one's progress in spiritual life. So, not always. What does one do when he fails to see himself and others as spirit soul, an eternal servant of the Lord? Yeah, you know, that's okay. But what if somebody puts too much salt in the sabji? Eh? You can tell him, oh, I just drank 3 liters of water. You know, it's like, it's as salt as anything. Could you put a little less? Come on, no. In a nice way, but, you know. So, but very envious and say, actually, you are not a devotee at all. You are simply full of horrible qualities. Yes? I mean, you know, I wish you would just remove yourself from existence. Now we're getting on the level of blaspheming the Vaishnavas with envy. You see? Now we become, that's envious. That's envious. That's, but if we, in a respectful way, point out a genuine mistake, that's all right. We can be human. Saying that when we are contaminated with material qualities, lust, greed, anger, envy, and all these qualities, then we try to act in a non-envious way. We try to control our anger, even although internally we are burning. We are trying to be humble, although we know very well that we are proud. But we're trying. And then Krishna does the rest. Sarvadharma Pratyam Ekansaram Rajahantam Sarvadharya Moksha Sarvadharya. Abandon all variety of religion, just surrender unto me. First half of the verse. Second half of the verse is, I will deliver you from all the sinful reactions. That Krishna says. Yes? So that's Krishna's part. So Krishna takes away our weaknesses. We can't do it ourselves. But we just try to act in a way, you know, to avoid acting in an envious way or unnecessary anger or pride or all these things. We try our best. But Krishna is the only one who can make us really humble. Or Krishna is the only one who can really take envy away from our hearts. No one can't do the same. Stop being envious. And try it.
As you described, the wonderful story of Krishna, the caretaker, and his pure thoughts of serving the Lord. In this day and age, with the material world being harsh to us, will our thoughts of serving the Lord in a pure and unconditional manner pierce him, even if we do not have it physically to present to him? Yeah, the thoughts also are good, but we can also try something. But granted,
the world is harsh, the environment is harsh, the professional corporations are harsh. So we're in a system. Most of us look for security there. There is another way. We can all, if all of you come to move into the temple, say all of you here, we'll say we're going to move into the temple. Okay, soon we'll have to get a bigger property. So then we'll start a big collection, so that all the temple devotees go out and collect. And then we have enough, and then we get like a bigger temple, or more land, and we build units on it, until we have a whole part of Chatsworth. It's possible we gradually buy all of Chatsworth and then we begin with the next suburb. It's possible. That's actually how the Hare Krishna movement started. That's how Chatsworth was built. The temple devotees went out and collected. Okay? That's how it was done, basically. That's the system. That's how ISKCON started. Yeah. Everywhere in the world, we started that. So there is always an alternative, I must say. It's not to be a force to be part of the system. Both is possible. We can live on the outside and relate to the temple. Or we can live in the temple and relate to the outside. If you live in the temple, then life will be easy. So you have to be a family. So start a community. There are communities. Prabhupada's idea was that there would be communities of devotees. Yeah? So that they wouldn't have to be part of the system. So Prabhupada had an idea, let's make many communities all over the world so that devotees don't have to be part of the exploitative system. But then Prabhupada wanted that the leaders would be very advanced and very genuine, spiritual leaders. And then he was hoping that the leaders would look after the people very nicely. That didn't always happen. And in the end, some trust broke down and people moved out from the temples and so on. So Prabhupada had this idea of Gita Nagaris, villages based on the Gita, where devotees would stay. Many communities. So the earlier days of ISKCON, communities were an idea that Prabhupada had for the householders. And why did it not work? Because the leaders lacked the maturity to really care for the interests of the community members, and trust broke down. That's why it didn't work. And now there's no more trust. So now it's difficult. And now everyone's on his own. Outside, in a harsh world, trying to be Krishna conscious. And it's not easy. Not easy. When you work in some corporate structure, it's not easy to be a devotee. Not easy at all. What can I say? But it is our choice. That is our choice. I finished your questions, and it's also 9 o'clock, and I don't know how much longer I should keep you here. Some start yawning. And so, just in conclusion, I want to say this point I'm making about that there is an alternative. It's not that I'm criticizing those who are saying, well, let's stay in the world. But then you can also not complain. And you have to take your austerity. Because my point is, it's not that you're forced. It's a choice. You chose for it. You chose for it. If any of you want to live in a community somewhere, for example, in Itanagari in America, our Dhruva Maharaj Das and his wife Parijata, they're from South Africa, they're running the project. They are ready to take people. Anyone wants to go? Not that there are always opportunities to, but we feel more secure in the material arrangements, because it does offer some economic benefits and so on. So that's fine. That's not a problem. But then you have to take your austerities also. That come with it. And that means struggle a bit to chant Hare Krishna. Because when you have a job like that, it's a little hard to chant. I know. But anyway, if you don't like that, you can try the Swami job. Boy, that's tough too, I tell you. Always people. Huh? Yes. And I talk to you for 5 minutes. Yeah. So everyone, there's one story, and that story is an Italian story, and it is about a small town, and everyone would complain to the mayor, and they'd always come to the mayor with endless complaints. So one day the mayor said, next Saturday we'll have an exhibition of problems. And said, we take the town hall and all of you can bring your problems and put them there on display. So this was a great exhibition. Everybody came, everybody looked at all the problems and said, like, whoa, look at that one. Ooh, that's a problem. Check that out. Yeah. So it was a very successful exhibition. Everyone was there. And then it was closing time, and then everyone was leaving. And then the mayor made an announcement, said, before you go, wait a minute. You cannot just go and leave all these problems here. He said, everybody has to take one problem home. And all the people walked around the exhibition hall. And they looked one more time at all the problems. And in the end, everybody took his own problem home. Because, you know, better. At least you know that problem, right? I mean, it's an unknown problem, you never know. So somehow or another, we all stick with our own problems. Yes. So with that high note, I'm leaving everyone with their problems. And may you somehow or other find the strength to make the best of the situation. Just as I have to find the strength. And I pray for that. I pray for my own strength. I pray for your strength. And in this way, I hope that somehow or other, it all goes on. It all goes in. And that, yes. And if you haven't finished 16 rounds yet, that we're still going to do it before midnight. And if we have, that we'll give it another go tomorrow. And in this way, I'll say goodbye to you for the night. Sweet dreams about Krishna. And see you again tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Jagannath.